The following podcast is intended for listeners over the age of 18. It contains mature subjects and adult discussion. Listener discretion is advised. As we are not doctors or psychologists, all advice is for novelty purposes only. All advice and discussion comes from our own personal experiences. Yours may well be different.
Welcome to the Swing Set. Climb on up. There's always a swing available. On Life on the Swing Set, the podcast, we explore open relationships and swinging. The pleasures and passions, the promise and pitfalls. We discuss all aspects of swinging in a fun, open, and welcoming fashion with a gleam in our eye, a bounce in our step, our hand down your pants. Ooh, sorry, got ahead of myself. We may be biased. In fact, we most certainly are. But we don't sugarcoat, and each of us speaks honestly and earnestly about our thoughts, ideas, and experiences throughout our very own lives on the swing set. Thanks for swinging by.
Welcome to Life on the Swing Set, episode 26, Auld Lang Syne. It is New Year's Eve here at the Swing Set, and we are sitting in the cold. Well, some of us are sitting in the cold, and others are sitting in the medium temperature, and others are sitting in other colds. We've got the entire United States covered here between us, and we're all kind of in a reflective mood because this is the end of the year for the Swing Set. Well, it's the end of the year for everybody, but it's the end of our first season, which means nothing because we're a podcast. So,
it means that we take a 2-week break.
No, we always take a 2-week break.
Oh, I'm sorry, half a season break, like all the shows that we love.
We're going to take a half season break.
Yeah. See you guys in July. Woo!
Yeah, enjoy reruns, which are especially poignant when you're listening to podcasts. I'm Cooper Beckett. With me tonight, we have...
Hey, it's Ginger.
It's Dylan recording from the chilliest porch in Chicago.
And this is Shira B. Katz, recording from a very warm area in nice, sunny California.
Don't make us... we're not going to do anything
don't
other...
Don't hit me. It's okay. I'm sorry.
Well, it is difficult to reach across that continental divide and smack you for the smugness of your heated state.
I'm sorry if it was 70 degrees today.
It was actually 70 degrees today. I think it was 2 today here.
So. Oh, my gosh.
Well, tonight we're doing something a little different. You know, we've acknowledged that we've had some heavy shows the back half of the season. We've talked obviously to Kendra Holiday, which was a bit of a rough show. So we wanted to get back to a more relaxed, freeform show and just kind of talk about the year. We've been doing this for almost a full year now.
Well, you know, traditionally the back half is what you usually want to be, you know, bigger or heavier. You know, than the front half.
Oh, Dylan.
And see, the evolution in the show is complete because before, that used to be me saying that stuff and him getting on my case. And now he's saying it and we have Shira getting on his case.
Yeah, you know what? Because it's funny when I say it. Oh, wait.
No, it's less funny, in fact. So I have a little business, and I know we have a few little lingering businessy type things. Kendra Holiday, our good friend at thebeautifulkind.com, she is being sued for custody of her daughter. Her ex has decided to take it upon himself to run her through the mud because of coming out and use this as an opportunity to take their daughter for himself for full custody. She's got a legal defense fund set up, and you can also hire her as a personal consultant at beopenandhonest.com. And that website is also in a link on the show notes here. I just encourage everybody out there who wants to support being open and not allowing people to use your sexuality in order to manipulate your family and take your kids away. Please give generously and let's help Kendra keep her amazing daughter. And
you know,
the
part of what's hard about coming out in public and, you know, putting yourself out there is it makes it hard that if you do have someone looking to hurt you by taking what you say out of context and ruin you with it, I don't know, I can just imagine that some of the stuff that we talked about in our last discussion with her and some of the stuff that she writes about on her website just being snipped out of content and being used to paint her as some kind of extreme sex fiend that has no other cares in the world except for sexual gratification. And you know, that's not who she is. I mean, we'd call it, and she'd call it, she'd define herself as being open and honest. And because of that, I'm still proud of her. I'm very, very proud that she did this and, you know, doing it for herself, doing it for us. But it kills me to hear this. You know, I'm not gonna lie. I had a worry in the back of my mind that something like this could happen. And I think we all do. I think that's understandable. But now it's happening, and I hope she gets through this. I hope that more reasonable minds prevail. You know, a judge, some kind of agreement between them, some settlement.
Yeah.
Hopefully, very soon we'll have another follow-up podcast with a happy ending for Kendra Holliday.
That would be wonderful.
Yes, it would.
So now I know, Ginger, you had a little something from the Twitterverse you wanted to mention.
A twat that she received?
A twat?
Oh, see, no.
She got twats all up in the...
No.
You don't have to say who. You could say a friend.
No. Oh, absolutely. I object to the...
you don't want it to be a twat.
Past tense of tweet.
I see.
Prof tends to do that too, and it doesn't roll off my tongue. So,
wait a minute. But, I've seen that roll off your tongue.
Well, that's different.
Oh yeah.
I know.
That really was a good one. I got a slow clap going on.
6 out of 10.
That was a 6.
Are we holding up scorecards now?
Well, somebody is.
I'm sorry, Dylan. I need to get on Cooper's back for you now.
Our listeners are the only ones holding up scorecards.
Ah, all right.
So do tell about your Twitter.
So friends
thing.
Of ours from Desire, who we totally adore, are such great entertainment on Twitter, and I was just noting before we started the show that one of our good friends that we totally adore was apparently busted dirty dancing with her partner at the bar by one of her son's friends. So I just love that. I think that is just so much fun. And, you know, it just goes to show you anywhere you're dirty dancing, you may be busted and it may get back to, you know, whomever. But I just think that's so fantastic.
That son better be 21 or older.
Well, exactly. I want to be busted dirty dancing like that. So I want to follow in her footsteps.
It also sounds like the kind of tweet you see on that text from last night website where it's just, dude, totally saw your mom and dad dirty dancing at the bar.
I know.
WTF, they're swingers, man.
That's one of my guilty pleasures.
Did you like me playing, like, what would that be? That would be like 12 years younger. Did you like that? I totally pull it off, right? I totally, you know, I can hang with the youngins. It's getting worse. It's actually getting worse progressively here.
Oh, boy.
See, I could see myself going to one of those places since I'm still relatively young. And then
wait, what do you mean one of those places?
I would totally tweet to one of my friends, I was just dirty dancing with your mom. I bought WTF, they're swingers.
This reminds me of a story of a company Christmas party a couple years back, and I got very, very drunk.
Excellent.
And I ended up dirty dancing at the company Christmas party with one of the mechanic's wife. And totally made out with her right there on the dance floor.
Wow.
Yeah, it was trouble after
that.
Wow.
Yeah, what was that like afterwards?
Well, luckily I was a contractor, and funny enough, they just didn't renew my contract.
Oh man. Well, you know, I was reading my office all knows about our swing hood.
Swing sure. hood, I like that.
He can't keep his swing hood in his pants.
I can't. No, it's difficult.
No, he can't.
But I was reading all these articles because every year they try to convince you that you need to behave yourself at office Christmas parties. And,
oh, is there like a PSA that comes out, like a
well,
PSA
it seems
email?
Like it. Every year, no, I read at least two or three articles on major websites about, you know, things to do to keep yourself in check at the Christmas party. Usually it's all these things like don't have fun or
exactly.
You know, you can break there that down to don't drink and don't, you know, make out in the closet. My favorite one, though, said don't blow anyone.
And some of us need those reminders.
Cooper,
top
keep it in mind.
No making out with wives.
Well, and I found it very amusing because we were at my company Christmas party, and one of my coworkers showed up with his girlfriend, who we'd never met, and she is fucking hot. And my wife immediately said, "Did you see her? Look at her." And I said, "Well, what do you think? You want her? Go get her." And so she spent the rest of the evening, you know, flirting a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, just to see what would happen. It was pretty cool.
That's
did
fun.
She get her?
Well, no, not we're playing. We play a long game.
Oh, okay.
We don't see a need to you know, immediately jump on that, because you know then we're creepy.
Understood.
But we'll play the long game.
Yeah, you know, speaking of jumping on something right away, and that wasn't meant as a terrible pun or anything, this time. Don't worry, I'll use it 10 minutes later, and it'll be totally hilarious.
Or not. Okay, but, great.
So we had a little bit of a long game, short game decision to make. We were out with some people in Chicago the other day, and having a good time, and this one couple who came in from Michigan said, "You know what, we're starting to get a little tired, so we're going to leave in a few minutes." And the lady friend of the bunch, or of the group, said, "Hey, why don't you guys come back to our place?" And said it right to you know, Tonya in my face. And she was blatantly inviting us to their hotel room. Now, I knew that the male of the couple definitely knew that we were swingers. And we weren't there to be swingers. We weren't there as swingers. It was just people hanging out.
Oh, but you're always representing the swinger community.
It feels like that. I was talking about it every so often there, but I wasn't flirting with anyone. I wasn't, and Tonya wasn't, you know, going after anyone. We were just there chilling, having a good time. You know, we were shooting pool, stuff like that. And so she invites us to her hotel room. So I had to take a double take on this and say, wait a second. Does she know about us? And if so, is she inviting us to have a chill time and talk, or inviting us to do a little exploration? And so I had to, you know, we decided to politely decline, because we just didn't have all the information. Besides,
right,
you know, they may be from Michigan, but they're only 5 hours away. So.
Well, I pointed out to Dylan, you know, the best way to get that information is to go to their hotel room and sit there and see if they make a move. They are inviting you back to their hotel room. They might make a move, or they might not.
That's true, but then we would have had to leave everybody else we were having a good time with. So I think the aggregate good of making that decision outweighed the potential opportunity lost.
Very, very patient of you. The opportunity will come back around if it's meant to be.
Yep. Yeah, some of those situations can be really ambiguous. Actually, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is I wanted your guys' judgment on an item. So the other night, I was at a party over at my friend's house, and we stayed too late, and our car got locked into a parking garage, and we couldn't go get it. So we had to stay the night. We were staying the night at a couple's house. The female half of the couple had went to bed early, and the male half had blown up the air mattress for us and was helping us out. And so he blows up the air mattress, and this tiny little apartment, leaves the door open to the bedroom, goes in, lays in bed, and seriously, 3 minutes later, starts fucking his wife.
Wow.
Loud.
Uh-huh.
And she's being really loud. And, wow. and I'm wondering, I'm sitting there, I'm terrified. Huh. I'm like, were they trying to get us in there? But what if she didn't know? Like, I don't know if she even knew we were, like, still there, or how long, like, I don't know if she's just woken up. What do you guys think? Were they trying?
Well, like, how drunk were they?
Not very.
Okay, because I had a similar situation with a pair of very, very drunk friends. And I could see them just letting the entire world go and not caring. People that know what they're doing, as horny as they may be, they know people are in the other room. They were either showing off or giving you an invitation. So I don't want to make a judgment between that, but
yeah,
I'm guessing showing off.
I totally
see. That's where you needed your scorecards.
Yes.
So you
yes.
just go back into the bedroom and hold them up.
I was, you know, I don't know.
They would have been surprised.
I think people might mistake us for being swingers often. They might not know that we're exactly polyamorous. They might think we're swingers, but I'm just wondering if, like, they thought that's what we were about. I don't know.
Could be. Well, you know, in that situation, I might try to have a moan off. And if I couldn't
like
beat them, then kind of join them and harmonize and get a little bit of rhythm going, so
I might have been able to have been talked into something, but yeah, I was just kind
is that
of...
Is that the DJ in you, Dylan?
It is. I could totally turn this into a... Totally turn it into like a dubstep mix of moans, you know, or something like that. I don't know. I could figure something out.
That would be fun. That's fun.
So a few podcasts ago, I'd mentioned that I'd had an opportunity to get with a vanilla girl. And it turns out that after, it's been about a month or so since then, it turns out that that is on now.
Oh, wow.
How yeah. so?
Well,
yeah, do tell.
Well, if you remember what
sharing
happened.
Sharing is caring, Dylan.
It is. And, you know, sharing is where a lot of this, you know, may be becoming possible. So if you remember from a few podcasts ago, you know, we had ended up deciding that I couldn't get with a vanilla girl just because, you know, we talked about it for a while, and Tonya wasn't exactly comfortable with her not being a swinger. I think that it was a little bit of that and a little bit of she just wasn't confident in how I felt about things. Not that she felt that, you know, I might do something bad or anything, but I think she felt a little worried that I was going to make a mistake, and it turns out that that was a lot of the case. About a month ago, when I was discussing this with her, I wasn't exactly very confident or well put together in how I was thinking about this. I was more just, well, this is really exciting because this is a new thing that I can do, and she's a new person I can be with, and can I do it, please, please? And so, you know, okay, that's how that went, and I think that's more how that conversation went. But now that we revisited it, I'm a lot more coherent, a lot more put together, and in addition, you know, Tonya has seen her quite a few times in the last few weeks, and they, you know, they talked that night, and they've talked since then, and they've been very happy talking to each other, and so, you know, she's comfortable with her, Tonya's comfortable with how I feel about the whole thing, and she's pretty happy knowing that she doesn't think I'm making a mistake, so it's basically game on.
Wow.
So, sat it out, waited it out, thought about it, talked about it, and now it's happening.
That's cool.
Awesome. So much of that has to do with the communication falling into place, I think.
And I had a similar situation this year. You know, a lot of we've talked about before how you know we surround ourselves often with people we're interested in, because we're more receptive to friends who we're somewhat attracted to, I think. And I've had a few friends that have expressed some interest in seeing what could happen now that I became a swinger. And initially, Marilyn was very concerned about that. And recently, it came to a point where I was given the go-ahead to fuck a long-time friend. And afterwards, I kind of came to the realization that for, you know, in some of these situations, this is not a long-term sexual relationship I'm looking for with these people. It's more, wouldn't it be fascinating to have sex with this person and see them from a completely different point of view than I'm used to? You know, so it's not always about this big thing. It can be about just the simple act of let's give this a try.
Oh, sure. That's one of the fascinating dynamics of when you put it in the context of friends with benefits, I think, is it can be whatever you each decide you want it to be. And I've tried that on for size with play friends that we have who I don't agree with politically, which seems really bizarre, but for me is kind of a big thing. And we just can't talk politics. And interestingly, I actually blogged about it, but you know, interestingly, it's like, I see these friends, I enjoy them very much, and it's been a friends with benefits kind of longer term piece of the puzzle, but I am able to just kind of put that to one side and see it as novel and sometimes entertaining. and
you're
just let it be what it is.
Than me, Ginger.
Well, you know, that was part of the conversation we had too. It was part of what I said was, I'm not exactly sure why I'm attracted to this person, but I realized I'm okay with that because while she hasn't been preoccupying my every thought over the last month, you know, we are Facebook friends and we have occasionally seen each other, and you know, just like, you know, she and my wife have seen each other. And you know, when we have seen each other, it's been cool, but it's also been, you know, she's interesting. She's nice. It would be nice to see her like this, and I can't really explain why, but you know, it is. And so I think that just it being different, she is different than anybody else I will have been with up to this point.
Bill,
and yeah.
This sounds poly.
Oh God!
I'm
what
just
have
saying
I done?
It sounds incredibly sweet. That's all I'm saying.
Sure, oh, no, he can label it however he chooses.
I'm not ashamed of that, and if that's what it is, then you know, okay, then there's a little trend going that way, and it's not, you know, I'm not afraid of that. But you know, that it is what it is, and so if it sounds like it, then that must be it.
But the awesome thing about it is that she and Tonya have a connection, a communication connection. So that just takes a lot of the pressure off. I feel like, I mean, Prof and I have had experiences where one or the other of us, I mean, our typical scenario is we're kind of always in the mix together and we enjoy that dynamic very, very much. But in the past, when we've been starting up different relationships and the communication's been uneven, where I'm communicating more with the new friends or he's communicating more with the new friends. Once those communication patterns kind of fall into place, if they're not open to connecting with both of us and communicating with both of us, I've found it to be kind of, somewhat of a bump in the road in some ways until we can get all the communication settled, because then the information is coming through one of us. Like I'm telling him what I heard or he's telling me what he heard, and it just makes it much more complicated. But if your vanilla friend can be communicating with Tonya and they can have their own connection, you're not having to relay that information to Tonya and hearing it through your eyes or hearing it through your voice. She's hearing it straight from the vanilla unicorn.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see that.
Okay, guys.
You sound like you're so in love with this idea, Shira.
I am. I'm in love with that idea, and I'm totally excited for Dylan, but this whole time we've been podcasting, I keep waiting, and you know what I'm waiting for.
Oh, I'm listening.
You're not waiting. Well, Dylan, you probably already heard all about it, but...
Oh, you're waiting for...
I'm waiting.
For the, oh, okay. I wanted to keep our listeners in suspense as long as possible.
You're keeping me in suspense.
Okay, well, so as avid readers of the website and followers of the podcast, and we were just going to segue into this, and instead now it's on the spot, know that Ginger and Professor came to town to visit.
Yes, they did.
Marilyn and I, and Dylan and Tonya, at the beginning of December. And what I wanted to talk about with this, just as a sidebar lead in, was just what you were just talking about, Ginger, how, sometimes a lack of communication on one side while the other side is communicating a lot can, be an uneasy prospect.
Oh, yeah.
You know, obviously, leading up to this weekend, you and I were talking constantly. We had that relationship that was, you know, we were very much in tune with each other's expectations for the weekend and thoughts and feelings on the weekend.
Very true.
You could say you were very interested in her twats.
Oh, come on.
Wow.
Dylan.
Wow. That's, you're just, you need to go sit in the corner. So
where were you?
I don't know where I was because he derailed it.
You and Ginger were pretty much on the same page as far as your expectations
of
the weekend.
Whereas, Marilyn and Professor, while they'd gotten little chances here and there to communicate a little bit, never really were able to be in the same place at the same time online or via Skype and actually have conversation and see if they were compatible or interested in each other. I think both of them, I know Marilyn was, were riding on the fact that, I was very confident in my relationship with you, Ginger.
Sure.
So therefore, anyone that you are in an intimate long-term relationship with would probably be as cool as you.
Aw, thanks. Yes.
So she was riding that through line.
Well, sure. Right. I mean, she had to trust that you made a good choice. And even so, you both are really just playing facilitators for your partners at that point. And, what's the worst that can happen? You don't end up getting together. Or you get together and then it isn't that great and then, you say goodbye.
Well, no, but the worst that could happen would probably have been you guys came to town. Marilyn, Professor did not hit it off at all.
Right.
Whereas we did.
Right.
Then you have to make that decision. Do we send Professor back to the hotel? Does Marilyn go upstairs? What happens there?
Then you send Professor Marilyn to my house.
We never even discussed. And, it was something I'd wanted to discuss a few times, but we never did.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to bring it up because I sort of didn't want to, have that be a possibility. I didn't want to even acknowledge that as a possibility.
Right.
So luckily, to relieve the suspense here, Marilyn and Professor actually got started before the two of us. Ginger
well
and
done.
I were cooking in the kitchen and suddenly we heard moaning from the living room. And while there, I set the timer for 10 more minutes and then, it was on.
Ding.
Baby.
Oh my gosh, it was. And with all that said, it's interesting when you're right, Cooper, in terms of that connection, we certainly knew that it was there and talked and, just connected around Swing Set and all that and podcasting together and all that. But even so, to get together with someone for the first time in person is a big step. And, just to kind of generalize a bit, oftentimes, given where we are as certainly as swingers, lifestylers, speaking to that, oftentimes relationships do get started online. Not always, but it's, a pretty common way for people to get connected are various social networking sites. And not everybody enjoys connecting and meeting with people at parties like Prof and I do. Oftentimes people like to connect online and then go out on like a 2x2 sort of date and connect that way. And so I think that suspense of will the chemistry actually work one-on-one and then one-on-one again with the other half is pretty common in swinging.
When there's a lot of discussion on the swing websites and on our site about the difficulty of making that four-way connection, because the four-way connection is so very important to the process, unless you're completely okay with, I guess we just didn't connect, so you go ahead, you have fun. And that's a really hard thing to be completely okay with.
Sure.
And then to add the added bonus pressure of actually flying into town, with the express purpose of meeting up. That's, when we went up to Minnesota to hang out with, the Sex is Fun crew, we had met Lorax and her husband. We had not yet met Kidder and Jade, and they had already invited us to their house. So there was that pressure. It's like, okay, when we go out to dinner, we better impress them because they've already invited us to stay at their house and we don't have a hotel room for that night. And there's all this extra added pressure that goes into meeting someone, and then meeting them long distance. It's very unusual.
Sure.
Shira.
Sorry.
No, that's
just
okay.
You're just hearing jealous Shira over here. Got to
miss. We talked about you. Yeah, we talked about you a bunch.
You over and over, and wanted you there with us. We're already planning the next kind of. Well, not really planning, but we're
considering
as a crew at some point
in Vegas. For you, so you can meet us in Vegas.
I like this. I like this all. I'm very excited.
And Cassidy is going to hook us up with some people who run a very swing-friendly hotel.
Oh, perfect.
So very cool stuff.
Vegas is easy to get to.
And then we'll broadcast from Vegas. It'll be awesome.
It will be awesome. Yeah.
We'll do another naked podcast in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be perfect.
Yay. Sounds amazing. But so speaking of sex is fun, you guys played their game, didn't you?
We did. We played a beta test of their new game called Lubricious Positions, which is a difficult game to say.
I had the most rocking partner. He was so hot. Dylan.
Hi.
Oh, nice. So, let me lead into this. So, one of the things we did is, Marilyn and I wanted to show Ginger and Professor a good time. So, we threw them a little cocktail party where we invited some of our close friends, some other people who work on the site and some friends of the site. And we had a nice little group of people to hang out, to have some drinks, to play. We were going to play multiple Sex is Fun games, but Lubricious Positions lasted a long time. We were surprised. And, before that, there was a lot of conversation and some absinthe. So,
Don't shoot absinthe.
No, don't shoot I told you not to.
You told me after I shot it.
No, I told you before.
No, you didn't.
At least it wasn't still on fire.
No. It was nice. It was a very different experience of drinking alcohol.
So this game is, Kidder describes it as Twister for grown-ups. And it's you have these cards that have different positions on them. And you have a minute to do as many of those positions. And when I say do those positions, I don't mean fucking. Because everyone I describe this to is like, you have to, what?
Oh, no.
You just have to get into these positions. Yes. And some of them are rather difficult, and most of them are pretty funny. And it gets rather crazy trying to get you and your partner to coordinate, decide which of you is going to be which person, because they're androgynous people on the cards, making it even more complicated. You know, if they were male and female, you could actually just say, okay, you be the female. You know, that's nice and easy. But when you have to first decide who you're going to be, then decide who's in charge. We learned that really every team needed a dominant team member.
Ginger became the dom later. It worked out well.
Yes, indeed. I absolutely was taking control. We were rocking out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that game was a lot of fun.
Did we end up winning?
We were close, but we did not win. I actually expected Cooper and his partner to take it, but they did not.
No, we didn't win either. Who won?
Doesn't everyone win in those?
Oh, everyone won.
Oh, I'll tell you,
everyone won after that game. Let me tell you that.
Shira, some of the best parts of that game were some of the visuals. Ginger here was wearing a skirt, and she had these fantastic panties on that when I had her bent over, and I was sitting on something elevated, and I had her legs wrapped around me, and she was face forward down, and the skirt was just coming up. I just kind of flitted the skirt up a little bit and grabbed her ass cheeks a little and was like, maybe just slide this aside a little bit. But no, maybe that's a little too much. I'll just let that go.
And the timer was running, and we were not a forgiving
No, they
jury.
Were not.
Oh, no. It was really competitive. It was intense.
Well, we wondered a few times, did Kidder expect this game to devolve into sex perhaps earlier than, say, we ended the game. I mean, we actually played the entire game.
Oh, absolutely.
Was it expected to just devolve completely?
Well, hey, I mean, Marilyn didn't wear any panties. So, if anything, she was
the prof's happy surprise.
Oh, my God, yes. Some of the visuals on that were were just incredible, too.
They tried to sneak away a couple of times, too, and Cooper was, like, having no, none of that.
We were playing
right,
this
game. Master Cooper.
Well, you know, how can you respond to a beta test if you don't play the full game?
You say that it worked perfectly because everybody left halfway through because they were so turned on.
Hey, you did a good job. You did exactly
now
what you're supposed
I
to do.
Now that I know what those cards were that you took a picture of, my entire view.
No,
that was completely changed.
That was a different game.
That was a different card game.
The pictures on the website were from the game. Unpredictable, which is a couples game that we actually have talked about on the podcast before. It's a game where each you and your partner choose cards, and then that's what you do for the night. And obviously, Ginger and I were not playing by those rules. Instead, we in the afterglow, as it were, went through the deck of cards and just said, "Oh yeah, we did that one." And we did that one, and we did that one, and then we figured that's how we would answer all the people asking us to give a play-by-play account of our evening together, which we're not going to do, by the way.
Understood.
Well, you know, Shira, part of the really nice thing about this game is that if you were with a group of you know, non-swingers, you know, vanillas or interested people, you could probably play this game without too much of a problem. I mean, it is meant to be played fully clothed, and there's no mandatory groping or anything. It's literally just positions. And if people have played Twister at some point in their lives, this is actually
yeah, you've already had your face in somebody else's ass if you play Twister. You've already done that.
And you have to maintain a lot longer of a position in Twister than you do with this, so... This is just a little bit less risque. The only thing that makes it more is that it happens to be sexual positions. Woo! Because, you know, if you're in Twister and you're, you know, fully wrapped around somebody and holding, you know, them in weird positions at the same time, it's totally not like sex.
Yeah, and you don't have to make out with your partner in between turns. You don't
no,
have
that's,
to.
No, that's
no,
just, yeah. That's
it's
just
totally
an added
not mandatory. When
bonus.
You sit down next to your partner and end up making out with her for 5 minutes and then have people tell you that it's your turn, it doesn't have to happen that way.
It doesn't have to, but when it does, it's so great. Mm-hmm. Swing Set's got to take a break, so please stay with us. You're listening to Life on the Swing Set, a podcast by and for the sexually open. We remind you that all advice and opinions on our show are products of our individual experiences in the lifestyle and should in no way be taken as anything more than commentary. Your mileage will most certainly vary. If you'd like to reach us for advice, to ask a question, or to leave a comment, email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com or leave us a voicemail at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. As always, thanks for listening. Now back to our show.
So one of the things that I find very interesting in general, you know, when we're doing any type of long distance type communication is that first moment where you actually see the person there talking, the words coming out of their mouth. I likened it to when we met Kidder in Minnesota. It was so strange having listened to 200 or so of his podcasts and then to have him sitting across the table with that voice coming out of a real person, you know. And I mean, Ginger and I had video Skype chatted before, so we've seen each other talk,
right?
But it's still never the same to when you're actually in the same room and face to face.
That's true. It was still despite the fact that we saw each other before, I think that I go back to that same point that when you meet someone in person for the first time, there's nothing to replace that. There's nothing to that could possibly live up to that. And I think that when you get to know someone ahead of time online or however over the phone or Skype or however it works, and you already have that foundation there for relating, it just is obviously a great lead into an awesome weekend. So,
and it was an awesome weekend.
It really was.
That met and exceeded my expectations, which I defy our listeners to think that's possible, that it exceeded the ridiculously high expectations I was clearly setting. That weekend was set up to fail. There was no way it could have lived up to those expectations, yet it did. We had a wonderful time, and thankfully, Marilyn and Professor, you know, they hit it off, I would say, just as well as Ginger and I, and they've been communicating ever since. So there's really a very good sense of, you know, we have developed a strong four-way bond here, which is a wonderful thing, because, you know, you can't, man, I can't think of what I'm trying to say.
No, you can't force that type of four-way bondage.
No, you can't,
and it's elusive, and, you know, it's fantastic and amazing and sexy when you're already planning the next connection, you know, Vegas or wherever it might be.
Yeah, what's really amazing to me is that it's actually pretty rare for the two-person connection. Meeting of the minds and connections to happen. And so when it happens between four people, it's great. And the fact that we can keep finding it, not on a regular basis maybe, but, you know, that we're able to keep finding it, or that, you know, people that are open to more possibilities are able to find that level of connection more often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I also need to say that both Dylan and Cooper, you guys have it really great where you are, because you have some really awesome, rocking, sexy friends. So now I know when you guys are going out and getting together for fun cocktail parties and miscellaneous poker nights, how much fun you're actually having, that we're out here just kind of, you know, fogging up the glass, looking into. So, but we're thrilled for you guys. That's just fantastic and awesome. And we were just, Prof and I were both just absolutely thrilled, obviously, to meet you both and to meet your lovely wives. But also, I mean, what a really cool crew of people who are just putting out there on the swing set their perspective and their own journeys, and how varied their journeys are. And, they're just uber sexy, uber sexy, awesome people. So you guys are really lucky.
Well, we were very happy to have you.
Oh yeah, I couldn't say it enough when you guys were there. I was just happy you were there.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, the minute I walked in to Cooper's place, the very first thing I saw was Ginger in her corset.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. What a nice thing to walk in on.
Oh yeah.
Well, thank you. It was awesome. And I'm already planning mentally the next time when we can all get together and just party it up. It's going to be awesome and fun. Awesome fun. And that means you too, Shira.
Oh, yeah. Oh yes. I can't wait.
And we're going to figure out more than 36 hours.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Time. Well, yeah. As best we can.
I think time worked out pretty well there.
Well, and when you make the most of 36 hours and sleep maybe 4 of the 36, it works out pretty well.
That's what the
plan's still
for.
Had time to watch some 30 Rock, Community, and Futurama.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Oh, boy. You got to relax sometime, right?
Yeah. You can't just continuously be wearing yourself down. It's just, you have to know your limitations.
Sleeps for wimps.
Oh, and speaking of compressed time, I had an interesting experience with all you there. I know I wrote a little bit about it on the site, but, you know, I was getting a lot of just fantastic vibes from the entire room and everybody in the room. And, you know, I was just sitting there on the couch watching everything happen, and we had, you know, somebody who was laying on the couch being pleasured, and two people laying on the couch being pleasured, but, you know, the female was pretty much there for the whole time. She may have moved 2 inches the entire night, and she just what did you describe her as? The queen of
She drew the queen for a day card.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I see it all sounds like so much fun. I'm not sure where I'd fit in. Can I be like the grand royal spectator? I'll have cards in these in the situation. I'll be giving the ratings. Is that how this is going to work out?
Well, definitely. I mean,
you can be whatever you want to be.
You know, I'm talking about the feel that I was getting. This is before I was participating.
And there were spectators.
Yes, oh, yes, there were.
Yeah. Not everyone absolutely. Was playing. You know, at the end of the night, we had one couple was just sitting on the couch taking everything in. It was really cool because, you know, you worry about, you know, as a host of a party, I worry, is everybody having a good time? Is everybody okay? Is anybody uncomfortable? What's going on? But when you have, you know, there's people, you know, playing, there's people interacting, there's people making out, there's people watching, there's people in the kitchen unconcerned about what's going on, having a drink. You know, it was very, a very fluid party. And it was one of the first parties that I didn't spend the entire time concerned. Are they having a good time? What can I do to make sure they have a good time? What can I do to make sure they have a good time? You know, so you don't have to feel like you would need to participate.
Right. Oh, yeah, well, I'm sure you always host a very comfortable and lovely party.
Yeah. And
this was the best party I've ever hosted.
There was no pressure for anybody to actually participate if they didn't want to, which was nice. I think that's a big part of something successful, where you don't have to feel like you have to participate all the time. And a lot of those good vibes I was picking up, which led me to better things, were just that, watching everybody picking up good vibes. And when the opportunity came in to bring an interesting piece of hardware into the fold.
Well, let's not be as shy about that. The Pure Wand, the Enjoy Pure Wand, is just about the greatest thing ever. Wouldn't you agree, Ginger?
Oh, my. Yes, over and over, I would agree.
So we're going to put that link on there. Oh, Enjoy Pure Wand is a must-have. It's expensive, but it will last you for the rest of your life.
Oh, my gosh.
Solid stainless steel. It will outlive you.
It's simple, but it's very easy to be innovative with. It's weighted just right, so you can kind of balance it in certain positions. And because it's kind of like a comma, you can kind of grip it in a certain way, so where you're putting leverage on it, and it puts leverage in just the right places, and it still frees up half your hand to do other things. It's an amazingly versatile little toy. And
sure, you know, you'd also love it for when you're setting up the prostate play games.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. I'm gonna have to look this thing up.
Look it up.
But in the midst of everything, you know, I kind of felt everything starting to fade away, and I between all the vibes that I was getting and the moans and the squirms and the kissing that I was giving and getting from Ginger and oh yeah, it was definitely an otherworldly experience, and I got to have it twice that night. You know, I got to have it with two different people. It was amazing, something I hadn't done before or hadn't felt before.
And that said, Cooper, not a lot of prostate play going on for me lately. I have decided that I'm in a downswing time, so I have put on my own form of chastity belt. Any guesses?
Oh my!
Anyone?
Oh.
No.
Your own form of chastity belt?
Yes. I have acrylic nails on.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No, it's good. It's good. I've decided that I am going to take some downtime for a little while. I'm kind of slowing down.
You're going to save yourself for the right prostate.
I'm definitely saving myself for the right prostate. No, I don't know about all that, but I've gone into non-monogamous hibernation for a little while, I think. So
sleep mode. Sleep mode.
Yeah, there we go. Recoup, hibernation for the winter. I'm going to come out in summer full force. It's interesting being non-monogamous and not actively non-monogamous. It kind of, you wonder where your identity lies, I guess.
That's interesting you say that, Shira. Prof and I had a stretch of time where, you know, it just wasn't happening. Like, it just wasn't. And we were so happy with that. We're so thrilled to just spend time with one another.
Yeah.
And it's just so beautiful that when you can embrace that ebb and flow. And know that there are going to be times where, you know, every weekend you're going to be connecting with new people and meeting new people. And then a time comes when you do, you just kind of go inward and just spend time with your partner, your primary partner, and you know, get to know them even deeper. And I just think that that's a natural ebb and flow that happens.
I completely agree. And then you kind of remember when, after you're done giving away all those creplets, all that time and energy that you're giving to everyone else, and it's back to you, and you're like, oh, wow, this is what I used to do with my life.
Right.
So I totally am enjoying the downtime, gearing up for my next big move, I guess.
You're in the cocoon again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I see nothing going wrong with this. It's nice to be able to take a break. And, you know, Tonya and I are pretty much just coming off of almost a 9-month break, maybe. And, you know, we needed it. It wasn't that we had any specific issues with other couples or with ourselves. But you know what? If it's really important for me, for us to be right with each other and to be right with ourselves as people before we can be right and enjoy other people. So, you know, if you, whether it's something in yourself that you just, you know, well, you just kind of need to step back and recharge a little bit, or, you know, an issue that somebody's having, it's nice to be able to step back and take a break and not worry about having to come back later, because you know you will, because, you know, why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. I have a New Year's tradition that I learned from a lovely poly company, or couple, last year. They invited me over to their home, and they have introduced me to what's going to be my New Year's tradition. It's a Spanish tradition in which you take 12 grapes and you gather in a room with all your friends, and everyone has 12 grapes, and you each take turns eating one grape and making your wish for the year. And you get 12 of them, and everyone announces them, and it's just totally lovely and awesome. And I love the poly couple that taught me all about it. And I think that swing set, I think that would be interesting to encourage our fans to have like 12 kinky wishes or 12 sexy wishes. Sit down with your partner and eat a grape and announce how you would like to manifest your wishes for the next year.
Ooh, how about feed your partner a grape?
Ooh, or feed your partners grapes.
Partners, absolutely. There you go.
Transferring grapes between partners in various ways.
Mm. Even better.
Oh, it's going somewhere.
So did that absinthe.
Absolutely, it did.
Oh, wow.
Well, so then that wraps us up of just about for this year. We're happy you came along on this journey for the first, you know, I realize this has only been 11 months of the swing set, and we do have an anniversary coming up at the end of January. I realize that. But the first, you know, calendar year of the swing set, has been very, positive. You know, we've done a lot of interesting shows. We've certainly improved since our early episodes, and we've had a lot of really nice, really positive feedback that we've made the non-monogamous lifestyle seem not as scary, which was the whole mindset we went into it for. We wanted it to be an outstretched open hand saying, come on, you know, it's all good. You want to join us? And I think we've gotten there, you know. And you guys are very much responsible for that. So at this time of reflection in the winter holiday that I'm not going to be referring to as Christmas anymore, I was debating Yule. But I don't like Yule. I'm going to go with Saturnalia because that involves orgies. And that's the solstice, and that's the, yeah. So, in this time of renewal, you know, take a moment to realize how lucky we are that we are not stuck and shackled into the 2,000-year tradition of monogamous marriage that has been imposed on us by the state and by religion.
2,000 years. We got to talk to Christopher Ryan about that, Cooper.
Okay. And, you know, that's a good idea. That we should talk to Christopher Ryan of the writer of Sex at Dawn. And why don't we talk to him on the next episode?
That sounds like a wonderful
Life on the Swing
idea.
Set. Yeah, let's do that. Excellent. Well done. Well done. Yes. That's right. We will be having Christopher Ryan, writer of Sex at Dawn, on the show to discuss non-monogamy and bonobos having sex, because it's fascinating. Fascinating.
I feel like such a fangirl. I'm like the original Swing Set fangirl, and now I'm like a Christopher Ryan fangirl. I'm just like, feel like one of those girls that was down at the, you know, stage screaming for Elvis, like, crying, or the Beatles, crying and sweating. And
I'm right there.
I'm so excited.
You.
Well, oh my
stay with us. Don't jump on Christopher Ryan's bus and follow him from stop to stop.
I might jump on his bus. Completely open. I'm completely open. I have room for both you all and Christopher Ryan as well.
Hey, Cooper, so. you're the one that's been teaching people that it's possible to love many people.
It is possible to love many people. And I think Christopher Ryan would agree with that, that you don't have to decide between loving Swing Set and loving him.
I have no intention of doing so.
Well, I
love him.
Well, and...
God.
Excellent.
We have to get out of here before Glenn keeps doing this.
Yeah, he's just going. He's going. Also coming up in the new year, we're finally going to be tackling BDSM, which is something that's been requested we talk about, because it is an interesting sort of external, sort of internal dynamic to swinging, to non-monogamy, and that should be very interesting as well. You can like us, as always, on facebook.com/theswingset. You can follow us on Twitter at swingsetlife. You can email us at contact@lifeontheswingset.com, and you can email us with questions, concerns, criticisms, topic ideas, questions for Christopher Ryan, suggestions for toys or anything we want to review, or just bitch. Go right ahead. We encourage it. It's part of the community. It's your responsibility as a listener. You can give us a call at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464. And as always, the easiest way to get on the air is to leave us a voicemail orgasm, or to continue the coming out show mantra, come out as something. It doesn't have to be a swinger. It doesn't have to be non-monogamous. It can be, as on our last show, coming out as Catholic. It can be coming out as a smoker. Whatever you want to come out as, do it and be proud on the Swing Set. Did you want to come out as something?
I'm a smoker.
You're coming out as a smoker?
I'm coming out as a smoker. There you go, fans.
Coming out as a smoker.
There
we go.
I've started it for you.
Excellent. So I've been Cooper Beckett, and a thank you to Ginger and Dylan and Shira for joining me for this last episode of 2010, which was supposed to be the year we made contact, and I think Jupiter was supposed to turn into a sun or something. It's been a while since I've seen that movie, but thank you guys.
Oh gosh, thank you. You guys are rocking. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Thank you so much, Cooper, for bringing me onto this show. It's really enriched my life.
Thanks for being here.
Well, my pleasure. We are very happy to have you all.
And to everybody listening, thanks for sticking with us, and I hope you enjoy the next year.
Absolutely. Thank you for swinging by.
I will take the role of Cooper. I'll take the role of Game Master Cooper and make sure that things go
well. Did you call me Gay Master Cooper?
Game Master Cooper.
Game Master. Game.
Did you think I said Game Master Cooper?
I thought you did, and I thought that was really inappropriate because you've seen me with women.